Welcome back to the Sauce Shoulder Podcast. I'm Alex Curry. No, I'm Alex Curry. I was trying to come up with a nickname on the fly, but I got nothing.
What about Alex Roll With It Curry?
Perfect. And you are?
I'm Stacy Valerie Sproul.
Today, speaking of Valerie and Roll With It, we're talking about Steve Winwood, the fantastic musician singer. My God.
This guy can do it.
Yeah, he can literally do everything, which he's shown on several occasions. Mm-hmm. I'll just start out with just who he is. He's a multi-instrumentationalist and producer. He was born in May 12th, 1948 in Birmingham, England.
So he's a Taurus.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell what would you say would be the main trait of a Taurus?
Oh, heck, it's hard working, just stubborn as fuck, and just real nice, earthy, beautiful people.
Sounds like Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
That's great. He was in an insane amount of groups over the years.
Yeah.
So he was in the Spencer Davis group, Traffic, Blind Faith, played a lot on Eric Clapton's solo stuff, Ginger Baker's Air Force. He played with Jimi Hendrix, Phil Collins, Billy Joel.
Holy shit.
Yeah, just all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. His father was a foundryman. He was a semi-pro musician. He played sax and clarinet. Steve started playing piano at age 4. He attended the Great Bar School, one of the first comprehensive schools in the United Kingdom. Basically, a comprehensive school was think of the public school system in Canada or the U.S.
Okay.
Those just didn't exist.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so, it was all privatized, people who couldn't afford to go to school didn't go to school.
Okay.
So, he was one of, the first enrolled in his area in a comprehensive school. So, he grew up blue collar.
Great.
Which is great. And then, after going through public school, he attended the Birmingham and Midland Institute of Music. At 8, he started playing with his dad and his brother, Muff.
Yeah, what? I saw that too. That's not a name for a human.
No, it's not. That's an animal name.
It is an animal name, yes.
Yeah, so, I don't know, his brother, Mutt Winwood.
Muff Winwood.
Oh, sorry.
Not Mutt. Muff.
Muff. Muff Winwood. They played in what was called the Ron Atkinson Band.
Sure. Was Ron Atkinson also in the band?
No, but a big thing at the time was that bands would be named after whoever put them together.
That's weird.
Which is, I think, what the Spencer Davis group was.
But Spencer Davis was in the group, was he not?
I don't know.
I thought he was.
I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly. There was a lot of information to take in.
There.
Basically, at 8, when he was playing with these his family, they had to put him behind a curtain.
Because he was 8?
Well, he was 8 and playing in pubs. But the thing about him is that he was so talented.
Yeah.
People would, there was a story about when Muff first heard him play, he picked up a guitar, and within a week was a better guitar player than Muff.
And I mean, it's fair to say Muff's kind of a loser.
Wah, wah, Muff. But then he became a better piano player than Muff, and just kept going.
Muff.
I know, right? God. But yeah, he just kept progressing, and just became kind of a musical phenomenon.
Yeah.
It was just people were blown away by Harken back to something we talked about earlier, think Little Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like that, except British.
Right.
Yeah. Really neat. He went on to, as a child, at 14 and 15, he was a mainstay in the backing bands of touring musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So back in this time, people would come through town, John Lee Hooker, who he played with.
Yeah.
John Lee Hooker wouldn't come to town with a band. There would be a band there for him.
Right, because it'd be too expensive to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, Stevie Winwood, at this point, he played with people John Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters, B.B. King, and he was, his specialty was playing the Hammond C3 organ.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so like your like classic, like, you know, like in the house organ.
Yeah.
Rips it up. Like, he's fantastic on that thing.
Right.
Which is really neat, which is something like, because like for a long time he wasn't playing, he played piano, but he played some keyboards, especially in his later career. But for a while he was strictly a guitar player.
Yeah.
Which is neat. But then you see, like, say, like, in his later career, like in the 80s, when like synthesizers start coming out,
yeah.
And you're like, damn, Stevie Winwood, like, you can, you know what you're doing.
It's, he was ripping those synthesizers.
Yeah, it was unreal. Like, yeah. You're just like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
The other thing at this time is that at this age, like, you know, 13, 14, 15, his voice was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he sounded, well, again, to harken back to basically everybody around this time, and everybody we've been talking about, he had a very, God damn it. he sounded exactly like Ray Charles.
Right. Okay.
Is what, yeah. So, just a fantastic singing voice that even when I was doing my research for this, I found out that like songs that I thought were nowhere near sung by a white band or an all-white British band at that,
yeah,
was the Spencer Davis Group.
Right.
And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, his voice was incredible. Speaking of the Spencer Davis Group,
oh, yeah.
He joined the Spencer Davis Group at 14.
14?
Yeah, with Muff.
Muff!
Muff joined.
Oh, how old's Muff at this point?
I have no idea.
Oh, who's going to do a documentary about Muff?
The Muff story. Okay, so Spencer Davis was a person. Sorry, he saw them playing. No, actually, here, it says here, right here. It says that he saw them playing.
Uh-huh.
And gave them a residency at the Eagle in Birmingham. So I don't think Spencer Davis was actually in the band. I think it was a band put together by Spencer Davis.
I'm so confused by this.
I know that was a thing.
I guess so, but like, I don't like it.
No, I mean, it's super weird. Could you imagine just like going out in the street and being like, hey kids, you want to be in like the Stacey Sproul group? Oh no, I don't play anything, but I will give you a residency at the Eagle. You know what I mean? Like, that's super strange.
Yeah,
but again, I could be just talking out of my ass because there was just so much information on this man.
Listen, this is not our full-time job.
No, God, no. No. I don't even know what my full-time job is anymore.
Yep. No idea.
I just, like, there are so many nights where, like, I'll be listening to music before I go to sleep and I'll just be like, let's put on Steve Winwood. And, like, just waking up, like, 3 or 4 times a night and just, like, waking up to like the weirdest stuff and just being like, exactly. And you're just like, you're like, okay, let's keep going with it. Let's roll with it. and just wake up again to something weird.
Yeah.
At this point, he gets signed with the Spencer Davis Group to Island Records. And the founder of Island Records, Chris Blackwell, called him a musical genius and the cornerstone of all of Island Records.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really neat. Like, he would say that, like, people wanted to record with Island Records because Steve Winwood was part of Island Records.
That's amazing.
It's really cool. Like, it's in, keep in mind, he's 16.
That's fucked.
Yeah, just
that
being
like,
that
makes zero sense to me. I'm just like, I put that in my brain and my brain's like, nope, that's not right.
Yeah. Could you imagine being like, say, like a 28-year-old musician? And just being like, I want to sign with Island because I want Stevie Winwood to be on my record. Like, that's nuts.
Bonkers.
Yeah. At 16, he released his first solo single. He released the first single with the Spencer Davis Group, Keep On Running.
Yeah.
And then he also co-wrote Give Me Some Lovin' and I'm a Man.
Oh, not that fucking song again.
I know.
I thought we were done with Chicago.
No, this is, how does that song go? I'm a Man, you know it. Oh my god.
We gotta play it.
Yeah, I guess. Let's just. What?
It's the same fucking song!
What song am I thinking of?
I don't know!
Why is this song haunting us? What am I thinking of? Did you already know that?
I knew it! I was gonna let you figure it out!
What was I thinking? I was thinking of something else.
I don't know. How many fucking songs in the world can there possibly be that are like, I'm a man?
I'm a man!
Like, what's going on here?
That's funny. Wow, what the hell was I listening to? Like I said, too much.
Yes.
It's just too much.
Yes.
What was I thinking of? Maybe I was thinking of Give Me Some Lovin' then.
Give me some lovin' every day.
Okay, yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. Oh, one really cool thing about the Spencer Davis Group, well, not really cool, but really weird thing is, at this time in Britain, they were just, like, giving ridiculous movies to bands.
Fair. They were like, let's find another Beatles, right?
Exactly. So, like all of these, like, you know, like, bands with, like, one or two hits were just getting full-on movies. So they had a movie called The Ghost Goes Gear.
Oh my god.
Which I don't even know what that means.
Goes Gear?
Gear, like G-E-A-R. The Ghost, it's got a theme song, like, The Ghost Goes Gear. Like, it's really weird.
The Ghost Goes Gear.
I tried to watch some of it,
yeah,
but it's like, it's just too much of that, like, over the top British bullshit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's do like a 5 minute joke on how there's a suit of armor that needs oiling. And you're just like, I guess this is British humor. I don't get it. Like, the band hated doing it. And this basically broke up the band.
Oh.
Because it got to that point where they were like, this isn't fun. Like, why are we doing a movie?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, with like, professional actors.
Yeah.
They all hated it.
What happened to Muff?
I don't know what happened to Muff. Oh. Honestly, I lost track of Muff. Hey guys, so my curiosity got the better of me and I had to check out what Muff was up to. Basically, he stayed in the music industry after leaving the Spencer Davis Group. He was an A&R man at Island Records until 1978. He became an executive of the British office of CBS Records, later became Sony Music. He stayed there well into the 90s. He signed Prefab Sprout, Terrence Trent D'Arby, Sade, the Psychedelic Furs. He also produced the first Dire Straits album. He also produced The Fabulous Poodles, Marianne Faithful, Nirvana, not the one you're thinking of though, the UK version, the Sutherland Brothers who did Sailing, Mott the Hoople. Anyways, that's what he got up to. He just basically became like an A&R guy. So this is around like 1966, 1965. Mm-hmm. So Steve moved from Birmingham to London at this point, and he just got super hip. Yeah, so like he just like people were all about Steve Winwood at this point. So he moved there and he just like kind of got in with like the elite, okay. The British musical elite. Like everybody wanted to play with him. So think like you're like your Rolling Stones, your like just anybody really, anybody recording music at that time. This is when he met notorious just piece of shit garbage human Eric Clapton. Yeah, like I cannot get over how much I just fuck Eric Clapton.
I hate him. Why is he gonna be such a garbage person?
He always has been.
He sucks.
That's the thing, right? Like, such an opportunist. Like, yeah. just I'm not into Eric Clapton. Like, did you ever hear about the famous like Foreigners rant that he went on?
No.
He stopped a show. I think it was in England. And he just said, are there any foreigners in the audience? And people are like, yeah, like, woo. And he's like, all right, I want you to leave.
Fuck you, Clapton.
But listen to this. It gets worse. He says, I don't want you to just leave the hall. This is a direct quote.
Oh my God.
I want you to leave our country. I don't want you here in the room or in my country. And then he went on to say, we need to keep Britain white. Yeah, exactly. And basically he said that he was drunk at the time.
No.
And then his response to that, eventually when he had to make an apology, was that he had a black girlfriend before.
No.
Most of his friends are black.
Wrong.
And he's a champion of the black community. Exactly.
No.
Exactly. So, I mean, just a shitty dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even right from the get.
Like, top to bottom trash bag of a human.
Yep. His newest thing that he's done is he released a anti-lockdown song.
Of course he did.
With Van Morrison.
Oh, God.
Other garbage man.
Another shithead.
Exactly.
No more lockdown. No more government overreach. No more fascist bullies disturbing our peace. No more taking of our freedom.
Okay, I will say it right now. We are never doing an episode of Van Morrison because I hate him more than anything.
I also do not like Van Morrison.
Fuck Van Morrison.
Fuck Eric Clapton and fuck Van Morrison. I have here, basically, like, he was just palling around and starting to get, like, kind of trippy. He was starting to smoke weed.
Yeah.
He was starting to, like, really kind of, you know, explore the musical depth of the time.
Right.
Which just meant smoke a bunch of pot and play guitar.
Yeah. And he was a teenager, so he was loving it.
Exactly. It was great. He started like wearing like, you know, like bell bottoms, growing his hair out, like typical 60s British, like mod looking dude. Well, not mod, but hippie looking dude, I guess. Yeah.
Just leaning in.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point, he started the band Traffic. And Traffic are tight.
I love Traffic. They're so good. They're so good.
The whole mantra of Traffic was playing music not on talent, but on feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really neat because, like, Steve Winwood has been groomed and, you know, been told that he's such a musical phenom.
Yeah.
And he had to be so precise and, you know, all that stuff. So, like, Traffic was really his chance to just, like, let go.
Yeah.
Which was really neat. So he joined with a drummer named Jim Capaldi, who was also the other main songwriter in Traffic.
Oh, okay.
Yep. The guitarist Dave Mason and multi-instrumentationalist Chris Woods.
Oh.
And it was really neat. They met jamming at this place called the Elbow Room.
Ooh, love it.
Which is such a fantastic name for a bar.
I'd like to open a bar and call it the Armpit Room.
Ooh, I love it. Winwood was the vocals for the majority of it, and he also played just an insane amount of instruments on all their albums.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so they get in the actual studio, and he'd be like, it's cool, I can put, like, four guitars on this, like, it's fine, you know, I'll play your bass part, it's cool, I'll play drums on this, don't worry, like, it's all right.
Because they sound like a big band, like, they sound like Chicago sometimes.
Yeah, they sound huge.
Like, how many people are in this band?
Three people and Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
So three people and, like, seven Steve Winwood.
Yeah, Steve Winwood counts as, like, seven musicians.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, that was the thing. Like, people were, like, just, like, everything else that he's done, like Traffic just sounded like a band that was around forever and are just really good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
So it was really neat. They moved out of London and they moved into the countryside into, like, a cottage. Just away from everybody, like nobody for miles.
Yeah.
They made a concrete stage out in the middle of a field.
Oh my God.
And would just rip it. Like, just go in for hours. And the way that Steve Winwood, in an interview I read, described it, he's like, that was the best summer of my life. He's like, it seems like there was no rain the whole summer.
Right.
He's like, the sun hit me in a different way. He's like, all we did was smoke pot and play music. And that's it. He's like, he's even saying that, like, you know, like, it was just them. Like, there wasn't, like, the usual beggars and hangers-on.
Yeah.
It was just traffic. And you can hear it in the albums. Like, you're just like, man, these guys are tuned into each other on, like, this really cool level. And, yeah, traffic was great.
That feels like, it feels like traffic is, like, what Chicago wanted to be, but Chicago, like, knows Candy too much to actually be what traffic is.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, no, traffic, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. So with this, when, like, traffic, people really started really liking traffic, people came and knocked, and they wanted to, you know, Steve Winwood on their tracks.
Yeah.
So, of course, famous racist and opportunist Eric Clapton and Ginger Baker of Cream and the bass player from a band called The Family. You know the name, though.
Some kind of Ginger Baker.
No.
Oh, Blind Faith.
Blind Faith. Blind Faith. Yes. Yeah. So they started Blind Faith. Very, very short-lived band. They only had one album. It's really funny. Actually, on their first ever tour that they did, there was a band called Delaney and Bonnie and Friends that opened for them. I wish it was. So, again, piece of shit Eric Clapton decided that he didn't want to be in Blind Faith anymore and wanted to be in Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends.
Of course.
So just jump ship.
Of course.
Also, they put out that album with that terrible cover. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
Yeah, like that. That was a misstep.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that was probably all Eric Clapton.
Yeah. Easily.
Let's just say that was all his decision.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say that anything that's gone wrong in the world, I could easily blame on Eric Clapton in some way. Let's do it.
Done.
Let's just scapegoat Eric Clapton.
COVID. Eric Clapton.
It was Eric Clapton.
Yeah. He's patient zero.
Fuck you, Clapton.
Yeah, fuck you, Eric Clapton. So it was the band broke up because Eric left. So Winwood and Baker started Ginger Baker's Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also great.
Yeah.
Like, it's really
Ginger
good.
Baker's awesome.
Yeah, Ginger Baker's dope. It was also short-lived because Winwood was going to start a solo project.
Yeah.
He just got to the point, I think, where he just started to feel too much pressure to even be sloppy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. And, like, too much pressure to just, like, play with other people's. And also, just ultra-talented. So, I mean, why not?
So super hard being really good like Steve Winwood.
Exactly.
Actually, I remember reading on something where it was, like, talking about all the previous projects, like, talking about traffic or whatever. And it was some way that it was phrased as though everything that Steve Winwood was in prior to just being a solo artist was just practice for him being a solo artist.
Like, I can see that.
Which is kind of an interesting way to put it. But, like, honestly, like, I love Traffic and had no idea it was Steve Winwood because I'm, like, familiar with Steve Winwood as a solo artist, right?
Yep.
So it was like, for me, I was like, oh, shit, that's the same guy.
Well, it's kind of crazy because you listen to Traffic and then you listen to the Spencer Davis Group.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, damn!
Yeah, you're like, how is that even the same person?
Yeah,
like, it sounds so different. And I do realize that, like, you know, like, eras and sounds of the era do change.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't even sound like the, like, at all like the same person.
Yeah. And I think there's so much about, like, the Spencer Davis Group era that, like, definitely bands around that time, and particularly sort of, like, UK bands at that time, were really trying to emulate something.
First,
like, it feels
definitely
more like a cover band, but they're not playing covers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like an original sound. It's like, hey, look at us. We sound like everyone else you like.
Did you ever hear the crazy story about, like what happened with British bands in the U.S. sometimes?
Oh, yeah, like the Fleetwood Mac thing?
Or the ZZ Top thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, ZZ Top just toured the U.S. under the name The Zombies.
Right.
And just played The Zombies tunes.
They were not The Zombies. No, but
nobody knew. So, like, because, like, you know, like, we didn't have, you know, Rolling Stone magazine. Yeah. We didn't have the internet. Yeah. Like, you know, like, if there's a band coming through town and they're playing Zombies tunes and they're saying they're The Zombies,
yeah,
they're The Zombies.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, that was ZZ Top's first gig. What's the Fleetwood Mac thing?
Oh, I thought it was the same, but there is, because there's two different Fleetwood Macs, but it's, like, the version that everyone's familiar with, and then there's the McGreenwood Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, for sure, yeah. So, but that still happens, like, well, not to this day, but it happened. Does it? Neither do I. I mean, I didn't research Fleetwood Mac.
I don't know who has ownership over Fleetwood Mac, to be honest. I just know that Lindsey Buckingham is out of the group again.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
So, at this point, Steve Winwood was going to start working on a solo album that he decided to call Mad Shadows, which I would have been very excited to hear. Yeah. But what happened was, is he was having a bit of a writer's block, so he called his guys from Traffic, Wood and Capaldi. And basically it just sparked a Traffic reunion.
No.
And they just put out another Traffic
album.
It was called John Barleycorn Must Die.
I like that one.
Yeah, good album. Yeah. Great album. So that was, the bones of that were supposed to be Mad Shadows.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
That's interesting, too, because that album is quite different from a lot of the other Traffic stuff, like the references and all that stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Super neat. At this point, he just started kind of just doing what people asked him to do. Like, he was having fun, but, like, for example, he recorded the part of Captain Walker in the orchestral version of The Who's Tommy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, super strange. Steve left Traffic in 1977, mm-hmm. officially, mm-hmm. and he just started sticking strictly to session musician work.
Okay.
He just wanted to kind of get out of it. He was really tired of touring. He was really tired of just, like, the whole grind of it all and the pressure to write.
Right.
So, yeah, he's just like, I just want to play music, guys. So that prompted Island to be like, well, put out a solo album. You've been talking about it forever. So,
and at this point, he's, what, 25?
Somewhere around there. Yeah. Like, super young.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, in your golden years.
Yeah, he's like, oh, guys, I'm really tired. I'm about 23 years old. I've been working all my life.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Steve, what's going on?
So he put out his first solo record, just a self-titled, Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great, no. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. There's some cool bones there. But the next one, Arc of a Diver.
I love it.
Is so good.
Good.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Arc of a Diver, it was the first album where he recorded everything, produced everything. Like, that album is 100% Steve Winwood. I mean, maybe 95, but, like, sure. Yeah, he did everything.
That makes so much sense, because that album, like, even within his canon, is, like, so different from everything else. It's, like, got this sound that, like, every single song, like, sounds like it's in the same neighborhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, nothing is out of place. Everything has this really odd texture to it, but, like, it's, like, weird, but I love it. Like, weird, it's, like, weird good, not weird wrong.
Yeah.
And, like, it reminds me of, like, it's just, like, this is the sound of someone who's, like, a dad who's an artist in, like, 1990. This is, like, the sound of his apartment or something.
For sure. Yeah. Like, yeah, I get exactly what you're talking about.
It puts you exactly in a place. Like, you're, like, I don't know, like, why, but I feel like I am transported somewhere to a place and time when I hear this album. You should be going when you see a chance. Take it. Find romance. Break it. Because it's all
Yeah, you know? It's really neat. I mean, I kind of get like dark vibes from that album a little bit.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about, not cool thing, but what I find with that album is it's almost like a half of a concept album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the artwork for like the singles and stuff was all very similar to the artwork from like the record sleeve. Yeah. Like,
oh, I love that cover too.
But the cool thing is that I find this for all of his releases. Yeah. I find like all of his releases are almost like really neat, completely cohesive, like almost like a quilt almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's really neat. Like they all come together and it's like you're listening to an album.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a collection of singles. Like, no. It's meant to be an album.
He's like, here, I've created this totally cohesive world for you. You're welcome.
Exactly. It's really neat. Yeah. Like, super neat. This is where he gets his first hit. His first hit was While You See a Chance, Take It.
I love it.
Which is so good. Also, have you seen the video?
No.
I wrote, these are my actual notes, word for word. This video is goddamn wild. Winwood is killing it. People are interpretive dancing on a glowing pyramid in morph suits, and he looks like Conan O'Brien.
Oh my god, this sounds right up my alley.
It's great. He kind of looks like a mix between like Conan O'Brien and like Gary Newman.
Yeah, he's kind of like not, like he's definitely a strange, gangly human with like, you're always kind of like, what is his face?
Yeah, like, especially at this point.
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool. He's playing like, I don't even know what kind of a synthesizer or organ he's playing, but it looks crazy.
Yeah, just that.
Yeah. He's in a suit in the video. Like, it's really neat. And it's like, it's 80s now. Oh, or I guess late 70s now. No, 1980 actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's cool.
I feel like every song on the album too is like, it starts as though it had already been playing.
Yep.
You're like, oh, we're halfway through a song already.
Yeah, I know. Catch up.
Yeah.
It's really neat. I like that album a lot. Yeah. And it's, again, it was one of those ones that like I didn't know prior to this. Like, yeah. I knew it a bit, but like, and I knew of it a bit as being like an influential album.
Yeah.
But never really had a soft focus into it.
Oh,
he actually did that album and his next album, Talking Back to Tonight. They were both recorded in his home.
It's really neat.
Yeah, so he did everything in his home.
Like he had a fancy home studio?
I think so, yeah.
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 I guess that's what happens when you're working since the time you're 8.
Exactly. Yeah, when you're... Yeah, exactly. So he had a lot of hits during this time. This is... he starts to get into... Let me see... After this, it's Back in the High Life.
Yep.
Yeah, which includes... Which is his it's his biggest song to date. It won 2 Grammys.
2?
Yeah, he won the Best Pop Vocal Performance and Record of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, so huge hit.
Damn.
At this point he just starts like just putting out just hits. He's just a hit machine, he's great.
One hits, I got hits.
Exactly. So he puts out Roll With It after this.
Roll With It, baby.
Also, doesn't sound like Steve Winwood.
No.
Sounds more like Spencer Davis Group.
Sure, yeah.
To tell the truth.
Yeah.
I think it was Talking Back to the Night that had Valerie on it.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Think?
Yeah.
I'm not 100%.
Yeah.
Then he kind of takes a little bit of a break. He gets off of Island Records and goes to, I can't remember exactly which record label.
Sure.
This is when, like, the Steve Winwood of past kind of goes into his, like, kind of dormant stage. Like, he's popular, but, like, he's never, like, Roll With It or, like, that. Like no giant hits like that.
Yeah.
Still majorly respected.
Roll With It was such a huge hit.
Huge hit.
Yeah.
Huge hit. Yeah. And he played on so many stuff. Like, did you know they played organ on Voodoo Child?
What? Yeah. Oh my god, when he was like 8?
Yeah, he was probably like 14 or 15 at
the time. Oh my god. That's wild.
Yeah. So he put out, after that he put Refugees of the Heart, which I listened to. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
Junction 7, but after that, which was a hit. It went well.
A hit?
I think it like came in at like number 10 or something.
Okay.
Like, it was
a, yeah, it wasn't a flop.
No, but it was enough of a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
He put out About Time, which I did not care for.
No.
No, that was a, it's a, that one there is almost like, it's almost like a, it's very Latin themed.
Oh.
Yeah, which is something that he kind of got into for a little while.
Yeah.
He actually, at one point, he was in a band called Latin Crossings with Tito Puente, Arturo, Arturo Sandoval, and Ed Calais. They toured, but they split before they put out an album.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of music nerds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then he put out 9 Lives, which also I didn't really enjoy.
Yeah.
And then he also put out an album called Far From Home, which was Traffic's last album.
Oh.
But on that, he played mostly everything.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, it was almost like, I think he, like, made a record and then was like, oh, this sounds more like Traffic than Steve Winwood, so I guess we have a new Traffic album. So I guess that's what's going on.
That's funny.
He's always has and I kind of always will be just around in music. Like, he's a very successful producer now.
Yeah.
He wrote a song called Reach for the Light for the movie Balto.
Oh, I was like, what's Balto?
And do you remember Balto?
I mean, vaguely. I mean, you have a child, so.
Yeah, but I didn't have a child in 1991.
No, but, like, those things cycle through. Like,
I guess.
I don't have a child to watch Balto with right now.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I will watch Balto with my daughter.
Do it.
I will. Yeah, sure. I'll be like, that's a Steve Winwood jam miracle.
And she'll be like, I don't care, Dad.
Yeah, at all. Who's that? Oh, you made me listen to Roll With It. Great.
I hate you.
He was also a member of the Louisiana Gator Boys from the wildly successful and definitely not forgettable Blues Brothers 2000. Do you remember that at all?
No.
No, neither do I.
No.
Didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that it happened, but, like, I feel like Blues Brothers, like for example, James Bond movies, are movies that I'm like, those are not made for me.
Yeah, I don't watch
those. Those movies have nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Somebody told me to watch, like, one of the new James Bond movies, and I was just like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I will watch something else.
No, that movie was not made for me.
He lives in a 300-year-old manor house.
Cool.
In the Cotswolds of England.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
That's
so, like,
a fancy area.
That's the fancy area.
Also, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It's like when you think of, like, you know, like, old tiny England.
Sure.
Yeah, that's where Steve Winwood is
sitting. Crumbling castles are that famous people can buy up and be like, wander about their halls looking wistful.
Yeah, exactly. Or in Steve Winwood's case, I guess just be Dracula. Like, just in a giant house making weird music.
Yeah, love it.
His oldest daughter, Mary Claire, is married to Ben Elliott, the co-chairman of the Conservative Party. Which is also just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, we don't know. I don't know.
Has he proved to be a Clapton as of yet, but I...
Where are we now? Oh, he received a honorary doctorate from Berkeley in 2008.
Oh.
I think well-deserved.
Yeah.
And he got an honorary degree from Ashton University of his hometown of Birmingham.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That's mostly what I could talk about with Steve Winwood.
Okay.
I mean, we could go into a really deep dive on, like, just Traffic or just the Spencer Davis Group.
Oh, yeah.
But, to go over, like, all of Steve Winwood, it was basically, you know, like, he's just been a musical phenom forever.
Yeah.
He's put out albums that are well-respected, like, almost like art house albums. He's made monster hits. And then he kind of went into, like, that, like, weird, like, adult contemporary phase where he just started, like, we see time and time again.
Yeah.
You know, he starts getting, like, you know, like, world influences and stuff. And it's, not for me. But I can see the talent, for sure.
Sure. 100%. Yeah.
So I guess this will bring us into our soft focus.
Oh, soft.
We need a theme song.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I'll start working on that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Do you play any instruments?
Yes, I do.
What What do you play?
I can play the piano. I can play the drums not well.
Okay.
And I can, like, I can fuck around on something enough to make it sound like a song.
Let's do piano and guitar, because I am awful at piano.
Okay.
So that sounds great. And I do have, over there, two hilarious, like, a Casio and a Yamaha.
Oh, yay!
So, yeah, let's do that. We'll write it.
Okay.
For, I guess, you get to start.
Okay. So, my top five Winwoods. Definitely, like, had to do Higher Love. Like, you just have to.
Obviously.
Like, I just, every time that song, like, that's one of those songs that, maybe I've said this before, but this is a thing that really brings me a lot of joy in my life. It's when a song that is in the soft rock genre comes on when I'm either grocery shopping or at the Shopper's Drug Mart, and I'm just, like, having the worst time, and then all of a sudden I hear, "Bring me a higher love."
Whoa.
And I'm like, yes!
Same. It reminds me so much of, like, just being in the back of my parents' car.
Yeah.
Like, just listening to AM radio.
Yeah. Just being like, what's this weird shit my parents were listening to? Kind of like it.
Yeah. CKEC.
Yeah.
Yeah. back in Pecto.
Like, completely not offensive in any way.
No, just a great song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Then, of course, I chose a lot of songs from Mark and the Diver. I chose While You See a Chance. It's like...
Great song.
Coming in hot with that synthesizer.
Right? Red hot. White
like,
hot.
Just like, crank it and like, let's go.
Yeah, just go. And it's got the dope swells in the background and stuff. You're just like, you're great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the layering in that. And like, honestly, I'm like, yeah, you saw a chance and you took it. And I love it.
Yeah.
So thank
all
you
Steve
much.
Winwood at home.
Yeah. I chose a Traffic song. Heaven Is in Your Mind.
Oh, that's such a good song.
Isn't it great? Flipping through a bunch of Traffic songs, and it's like I like Traffic okay, but like all the hits, I'm like, they're not my favorite songs. Like, I feel like they're super overplayed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found that one, and I was just all of a sudden, like, I was listening to it on my headphones, and I was like, what the fuck is going on in this song? I love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Because it's that thing that gets me every time, which is that crazy stereo shit that they do, right? Where it's like, stuff is moving back and forth between your ears, and like something is happening only in one ear and not in the other. And I'm like, I love it.
Stereo panning.
Yeah.
The best.
I will never get tired of it.
Do you know what's going to be great?
What?
I'm going to stereo pan the shit out of you while you're talking right there. Trust me.
I'll be like, I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
It's going to be great.
Then, what else? Ark of a Diver, the titular song.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the one that's kind of spooky too.
It's super spooky.
Like, it's a little bit scary. You're like, if I was 5 years old, I'd be like, ooh, what is this?
Exactly. Maybe I'll test it out on my daughter.
Oh, yes.
While we're watching Balto.
Please, please scar her for life.
We need to pause Balto so we can listen to Ark of a Diver.
For no reason. This is adorable dad behavior.
She came home the other day from school and she goes, Dad, did you know that David Bowie sang Let's Dance? I'm like, yes, I did. I was like, do you want to hear it? She's like, no. I'm like, awesome, Marigold.
You should fire back at one with her, which is, did you know that David Bowie sang Sell Me a Coat?
Did you know that David Bowie sang The Laughing Gnome? Do you know that song?
No.
Oh,
do you know Sell Me a Coat?
I do.
Okay.
You have to hear The Laughing Gnome. It's off his first album. And it's atrocious. It's got like in the background, it's like almost like klezmer music.
Oh, great.
And then it's like this like gnome comes in like like it's anywho, okay. Steve Winwood.
Anyways. And then my last one is another Ark of a Diver song, Spanish Dancer.
That is such a good song.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to, can we just stop recording and listen to Ark of a Diver right now and just like lay on the floor and be like, this album is the best.
I'm in. CBD, Ark of a Diver.
Yeah.
Perfect night.
Yeah.
So that was my first crossover.
Yeah.
Then after that, Higher Love.
Oh yeah.
Obviously.
Got it.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Valerie.
Valerie, call me.
Such a good song.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is going to sound a little basic, but Traffic.
Uh-huh.
I Dear Mr. Fantasy is such a
good
song.
I mean, it's great. I originally had that written down, and then I erased it and put Heaven Is In Your Mind.
But I like
Mr. Fantasy. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to turn it off if it comes on, and I'm going to kind of be like, yeah.
It's so good. And just good. The vocal line in that is fantastic. I like purposely listened to like a live version as well.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, oh my god, listen to these guys just go off.
Yeah.
Like it was great. Like I really liked it.
Yeah.
I put Roll With It on. Roll with the baby. I was just like, you know what? I like this song.
I like it too.
It's such
I like
a,
it too.
It's just a dumb song.
I actually put Roll With It as my honorable mention.
Nice, nice. My honorable mention was actually Give Me Some Lovin'.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Same song.
Essentially. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, just really good.
Yeah.
Now, worst songs.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was like I didn't even like listen to a lot of them.
No.
But Sagano, bracket for the Gypsies.
Oh no, no, Steve, no.
Yeah, I was like,
Get into Clapton territory.
Exactly,
there.
Right? Yeah, so it was just like. It's just not good.
Yeah.
It's from that, what record was it? The one, About Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, I don't like this. And then there was another song called Spy in the House of Love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was one of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's our first crossover on, Like a spy. What should we call Saw? We need something instead of just like two bottoms.
Oh yeah.
So we have our Saw Focus and maybe our
Stinky Pile?
No. What a Hard Edge?
Oh.
Saw Focus and Hard Edge.
I don't know. We gotta workshop this.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Ideas then.
Do you know what people love in a podcast?
What?
Workshopping.
Oh yeah, please workshop it with us. We love your ideas.
Please, that would be fantastic. Those are my two.
Okay. Yeah, so Spy in the House of Love, that was from Edit 7. Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Edit 7?
Oh.
Junction 7.
Junction 7.
Yeah.
Spy in the House of Love, I wrote down that it's dumb dad blues and it has too much Foley in it.
Dumb dad blues.
Yeah.
That's essentially like a lot of these bands turn into that.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, well, it's time for my dumb dad blues years.
Yeah. Like, awesome. Hold my hand, Daryl Hall, and help me through it. He's like, don't worry, I'm four albums in on dumb dad blues.
Hey, do you guys want to join the Tedeschi Trucks band? Great!
Wonderful.
And then there was also a song on that album called Lord of the Street, and I just wrote, same.
Bad always having to take like the two bottoms because like these people are like awesome musicians.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't give a fuck, man. Like honestly,
I can't write a Steve Winwood song. Like I'm just some fucker doesn't know what she's doing.
Couldn't even try, man. The last song I wrote was called Picked and Skid. And it was about buying a pizza at the Metro.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I mean, we respect this, but I mean, you know, some of this shit is pretty funny.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta make fun of people because it's also fun and the world's falling apart, so.
Exactly. And I mean, these people are public figures.
Yeah.
So,
but still, fuck you, Clapton.
Yeah, no, fuck Eric Clapton.